Jesus is alive. Jesus has set us free. We can lift our hearts and lift our voices and sing tonight, worship, and be thankful that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Welcome into the house tonight, folks, for our midweek service. So good to see each and every one of you tonight. Everybody's looking so good. I am so happy to see Brother Lynn and Sissy in church tonight on Wednesday night. I know they have to travel all the way across town. So good to see you. And Sister Frances back there. So good to see you on a Wednesday night. Woo! Everybody, just so good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Okay, well, let's go before the Lord and open up this service. Pastor Buck.
Amen.
I think you got dead batteries. Let me change them out.
Testing.
Mine's.
I love the Lord. How about y'all?
Yes.
Oh, I want to tell you, the Lord has been good to me.
Amen.
And He's good to all of us.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to the Word of God tonight, ain't you?
Amen.
And I know that God has something for each and every one of us. He's not going to leave one person out.
Amen.
And I just praise His name. Father, Almighty God of Israel, we come to you in Jesus' name with a heart of thanksgiving, praise, and worship to the mighty God that led the Israelites across the Red Sea on dry land, that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Woo! Glory to God from the fiery furnace. You are the fourth man that was in the fire, Lord God. And we pray right now that you would just move among us, change our lives, convict us of our shortcomings and sins.
Yes.
And Lord, give us a heart of repentance that we may be the kind of servants, God, that you've called us all to be.
Yes. Yes.
We pray for those that are sick that can't be here tonight. We pray for those that want to be here and can't be here.
Yes.
Most of all, we pray, God, that our heart will receive what you have for us tonight. We love you. We know, God, it's not in numbers, but it's in the bigness of heart.
Amen.
And Lord, we have a heart for you tonight. Right now, in Jesus' name, we welcome you in our midst, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
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 Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Praise His holy name.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Turn it on now. I got you fresh battery. All right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Turn it on.
Amen.
All right, he's got the harmonica out, and this song's going to have a little banjo playing in it, a little piano playing in it. Are you washed in the blood is the name of it? You know it. Sing along with us.
Yeah, nice.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb, are you fully trusting in His grace? Now are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
Oh, yes. How about Sister Carrie, you hitting that last verse up there on the screen? And Sister Nikki, tickle that ivory on that keyboard and let's keep going. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you
righteous in the sight of God. I praise the Lord and thank Him for that.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Yes.
You.
hesitatingly, but we still follow, don't we? But the more we get to know Jesus, and the more we understand that he only has good for us in mind, and he's all powerful, and he can take care of any situation, then we can start following boldly. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes, Brother Chris, we need a little nudging, don't we?
Yes.
I tell you what, when the Holy Ghost nudges you, you've been nudged, haven't you?
That's for sure.
Amen. Anybody ever been tied to the whipping post by the Holy Ghost and got a whooping?
Yes. None of you want to admit it, do you?
Well, I have, and I tell you, I don't like it.
No.
I don't like a whooping by God at all.
You know, I've discovered that if Buck speaks harshly to me, if I'll keep my mouth shut, the Holy Ghost will get a hold of him, and he'll come to me and say, Nikki, I shouldn't have treated you like that. I'm sorry.
I would much rather her lash back, and then we could lash at each other.
Then we're both miserable. Until peace comes back, don't you know?
Soft answer turneth away wrath.
That's right. A soft answer turneth away wrath.
Yep.
I like that.
It's good to know the Word of God. Lena, you've been in the Word of God lately.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm learning a lot from children of Israel.
Tell us a little bit what you was telling me about reading in, what was it?
Numbers. Numbers about the children of Israel when Moses brought them out of Egypt. And they were all gung-ho and ready to leave that place. And then when they got out in the desert, that things wasn't going exactly like they planned, I guess, and how they wanted it. So they started murmuring and complaining. And as I was reading, I found out how much God does not like it when we murmur or complain. Because when we ask God for something, and then we murmur and complain because we don't get it right that instant, and we murmur and complain against God, it hurts him. It hurts God that we don't have the faith to stand and believe what he said. His word is true. And sometimes we have to go to that word and we have to say over and over, I stand on this promise. I stand on this, Lord. I'm standing by faith, Lord. I know you're going to work it all out for me, Jesus. You know, it's what we confess out of our mouth is what we're going to get. And I tell you, sometimes we confess some stuff that we don't need to say. And, you know, God deals with me about my mouth, because don't be so negative. You can be negative before you even realize that you are.
Right.
You can say something, and I'll tell you another thing down, don't run God's chosen people down. Don't run the pastor of the church down. Don't run down anybody in leadership, because if you do, you're going to answer to God. And I tell you, back in the days of Israel, when they were walking out through the desert, I wouldn't have wanted to be in their place, because God didn't deal with them very leniently. He let the earth open up and swallow some of them. He gave them a plague. He brought all this on them because they were disobedient. They murmured and they complained. And God is teaching me, be content where you are, you know, and hang in there by faith, you know. Don't murmur and complain, because it's not going to get it to you any sooner. I can tell you that right now. It's not. It's not going to get it to you any sooner. And, you know, and I don't want to disappoint my God. I love him. And, you know, I wouldn't want to grieve him. But, you know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve God. And I don't want to do that. I want to serve my God the best that I can.
Yeah.
But, you know, I learned there's a lot of different sins out there that we might not even realize what we're doing could be a sin. And I'm glad God's purging my heart, and I'm searching myself, because I want to draw closer to him, because I've decided to follow Jesus and I'm not turning back. Woo, hallelujah.
Amen.
Every time I come up here, I get the Holy Ghost gets on me. I tell you, I feel something up here. I know it's the Lord.
Hot zone.
This is a hot zone.
Yes, amen.
Well, it's a hot zone back there if you just worship the Lord.
We should all be abiding in the Holy Ghost. Amen.
I was listening to you sing that song, well, I know the Lord's going to lead me out. I was listening to that on one of your tapes in my car coming in. I said, oh, yeah, I know my Lord's going to lead me out. Hallelujah. I'm not going to give up. I'm not giving up.
Can we do that without any music?
Yeah.
Well, I know my Lord.
Yes, I know my Lord.
Gonna lead me
You dig a hole.
Digging a hole.
No holes. No.
Brother Larry. Brother Lynn, come on, let's take the offering.
We get an opportunity now to give to the Lord, give back a little of what He's given us.
Oh, and that's nothing. You don't want to rob God either. Tell you what, if you could, you better give Him what is due Him, because if you don't, the devourer will come in and he will take from you. But God, it says if we pay our tithes, that He will rebuke the devourer for us.
That's right. That's right. We won't have bags with holes in them.
Yes. Amen.
I've been there too.
Brother Lynn, will you ask the prayer over the offering tonight, sir?
Our Holy Father, humbly we come before you, Lord, thanking you for all the blessings that you've given. We praise your name, Lord, and thank you for everything. Take the income that comes in from this church, multiply it. Use it for your work as you will. We'll give you all the praise and we'll give you all the glory.
Amen. As we're giving our tithes and offering, let's enjoy this nice instrumental.
Can I say one more thing? Yeah. You know, have you ever noticed when Wednesday rolls around how puny you start to feel sometimes, or every little ache will come out on you? And I mean, really, I was thinking about that tonight. I said, you know, I'm so sick of you, devil. You know, you don't aggravate me until it's Wednesday or Sunday or it's time to do something for the Lord. And when I first got here, I was hurting in my back. I was hurting really bad. And all of a sudden, I started having these pains shooting real bad right here. And I thought, Lord, I'm not going to be able to sing if they don't go away. Well, when I started testifying, they went away. And I'm not going to give in to the devil. You know, I'm coming to church if I have to hobble. So y'all just, if you see me hobbling, just pray for me.
Okay.
We prayed for a woman yesterday morning. She had fallen and her whole side was aching during the service. And by the end of the service, after all the old gospel songs and after the word was read and prayer was given, she didn't even feel it. And then, surprise of all surprises, Pastor Buck had been talking about how the nursing home people still have a lot to give and that they have a purpose. And this woman had said, no, I'm done. All I want to do is go to heaven. Well, do you know, at the end of the service, she was sitting right next to a friend of hers, and that friend started crying and went over to her and said, I don't know how to get saved. Show me how to get saved. And so she had the opportunity to lead her friend, along with Pastor Buck and myself, to the Lord. And we saw those tears of repentance and tears of joy. After that, that woman that had the pain, that was all gone. All she could think about was how to teach that woman more about what it meant to be born again. Oh, it was a wonderful, wonderful morning.
Goodbye, world. Goodbye.
Amen. One day we'll all say that. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. The Lord will prepare us for that day. We don't have to worry about it. We just need to remember that we do have that hope of being with the Lord eternally. And until then, we're needed down here. So let's do our job. We need exhortation like Sister Lena gives us. It's a beautiful worship song. Let's just think about the Lord Jesus and long for Him. More of you, Lord.
A deer panted for the water. Yeah.
Thank you, Father. Someone want to testify? Sister Diana, are you feeling better?
I am. Glory to God.
Amen. We've been praying for you. We love you. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank God. You know, I look around, I look at the young people and the trouble they get into and the things they do. And, you know, I go back and I thank God. I was saved at the age of 13. And He has been sweet all the way. And if I had a problem, I know who to talk to. And I look, the young people, really on my heart. I see so many mistakes they're making, all the stuff they're getting into.
Yeah.
But God knows about it. And the only thing we can do is hold them up in prayer.
Amen.
Amen, Amen. Sister Frances. I drive a school bus, and there's a lot of you that do not know how much the youth of today need Jesus, folks.
Yeah.
It is really scary out there.
And I think that one of the greatest things we can do, first of all, is pray. But we can live the kind of life in front of our young people that they would see that there is a God. And that He's with His people.
Yes.
And we can live a life to where Jesus will shine forth and give them something. You know, young people are great.
Amen.
They need someone to look up to, someone to teach them, someone to live the life in front of.
Amen.
I just want to thank God tonight, if you may let me testify for a minute, that God has sent Brother Vic and Sister Nancy here. Sister Nancy had five in Children's Church Sunday. And you know, that's where it's going to start, is for us teaching these young people about Jesus Christ and how much He loves them and how that there will be so much temptation around them, but they don't have to give in to it. And our children need to see God's strength, first of all, in us. And so I want to thank God that we have a children's church now. And I want to thank God for what He's doing through Sister Nancy, a wonderful, wonderful teacher. And I want to thank God for Brother Vic and all that he does to fit in with us to where we can all fit together and be the body of Christ that God has called His church to be.
Amen.
So important that we know where our place is, we fit in together, and then people will get to hear about a church where everybody's loved, but they don't play church.
Amen.
And, you know, it thrills my soul to have a children's church.
Yes.
And so I may join next Sunday because Nikki says I act like a child once in a while. But thank God. Thank God for that. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel His presence, Brother Chris. I feel His presence.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. All to Hallelujah. Oh, just bask in his presence for a minute, church. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus.
The Lord says tonight, until you fully surrender to me, you will not know the blessings that I have for you. For I have plans for you. Those plans are already in motion. As soon as you surrender all to me, saith the Lord, then I will open those doors that needs to be opened for you, my child.
Amen.
A total, complete surrender, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Total, complete surrender, saith God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nancy, I want to tell you something that it will encourage you. Kevin was at the house, I think it was yesterday, before yesterday, I can't remember now. And he was telling my granddaughter, y'all know her, about Jesus. And he was talking so grown up. And I heard him when I came over there. And I was listening, and he was telling about the baptism that we're having Sunday. And I didn't understand Jesus about baptism. And he told her that when you go under the water and you come up, your sins are washed away. And he was just explaining it right down to the T. So we've got a little fellow here that's been listening. But I don't want you to get discouraged because you're touching lives, Sister Nancy. You're doing a great job. I wanted to let you know that tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
I've noticed a real change in Camden.
Yes.
Since we started Children's Church. And you know, if you can change one, another can be changed. Because nobody can promote the gospel like a young child.
Amen.
Nobody can win souls. You know, my son led me to the Lord, Thomas. And he prayed for me. And I just saw the difference in his life. I kept running from God, but it's because he learned about Jesus. He would go to church when I'd be out drinking on Sundays. And he would go to church. Thank God for Children's Church.
Amen. Amen. A child shall lead them. Amen.
I can stick it on my back. On my skirt.
Thank you, guys.
Well, Pastor Buck opened our service tonight with the message about being a servant and surrendering to the Lord. Chris is going to wire me up here so my hands will be free. Father, how we love you and praise you and magnify your name. We thank you, Jesus, for going to that cross, for surrendering to the Father and doing what he told you to do that we might be set free. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Father, help us to hear your word tonight and to apply it. As Pastor Buck spoke to us, as you spoke to us through him, Father, that when we surrender our lives totally, that then you can pour out the blessings to us.
Amen.
Help us to do that, Father, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I asked the Lord what for tonight, and he said the word surrender. And that made me think of surrendering using a white flag to surrender to the enemy, you know, in the old days when maybe the cowboys couldn't beat the Indians, they waved a flag, a white flag, saying, I give up, I surrender. And then you had to give yourself over to the enemy, didn't you? And you had to do what the enemy wanted. And you had to, you might even lose your life to an enemy. Thankfully, a surrender to the Lord Jesus doesn't mean that we're going to end up with a bad report or a bad punishment. Instead, we have a master that we surrender to who is loving. And it should be out of love for him that we surrender to him. We were bought with a price. And so we really belong to Jesus. But he gives us a free will, doesn't he? He says, you can come to me, surrender to me. I'll give you a new life. I'll give you an abundant life. You'll have a life like none you've ever known. Your sin will be washed away. You'll be with me eternally. And I'll use you for my glory on this earth until I take you home. Or you can choose to go your own way, can't you? Well, we know that Peter and Paul, Jude, John, Moses, and so many others that have written the Word of God for us, they describe themselves as servants. If you go to 2 Peter 1:1, you see that Paul described himself, or Peter described himself as a servant. He said this. Let me get there. He said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He called himself a servant. And the word servant there means a bond servant. Only it was just translated as servant. But it means a bond servant. And the word bond servant is described to us in Deuteronomy 15. If you want to go there, I'll give you a chance to look it up. Deuteronomy 15, 12 through 17. And later you might like to read it over again and meditate on it with the Lord and see what he would say to you. Deuteronomy 15, 12 through 17 describes the process for servanthood or being a slave back in Hebrew times. And if you could not afford to take care of your family, you could sell yourself to a brother. And you would sell yourself for 6 years. And at the end of 6 years, you could go free because you were a brother Hebrew. And when your master set you free, he was to give you plenty of food and maybe an ox, maybe a house, maybe some land. He was to give you enough so you could start over and you wouldn't have to sell yourself back into slavery again. You were to go free. But listen to verse, let's go down to verse 16. And it shall be, if he, the servant, shall say unto thee, the master, I will not go away from thee because he loveth thee and thine house because he is well with thee. After serving this master for 6 years, you decide, boy, I love my master. I love his household. I love his family. I love taking care of things for him. And I don't want to go free. I want to remain with him. Then this is what is done. Then thou shalt take an awl. Do you know what an awl is? It's like a metal spike. you women that have your ears pierced, you got a tiny awl, didn't you? Went through your ears so that you could put an earring in it. You shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear up to the door. So he had to lay his ear up against the doorpost and take that lobe of his ear, and then his master would put an awl through it, puncture a hole through it. And I read that it was custom to then put a gold earring in that ear. I remember years ago in church down in St. Petersburg, a young man came to church with an earring in his ear. And I didn't grow up with that kind of thing. And it was something new back then. It was probably in 1982 or 3. And I had read the Old Testament, and I had read about this gold earring, putting the earring in your ear, and I said, oh, you've become a bond servant to the Lord Jesus, haven't you? And he looked at me like, what do you mean? But I told him, read the book of Deuteronomy, and you'll see what I mean. And so the servant would have this hole put in his ear, and then a ring to signify that he was choosing to remain as a servant, a bond servant to the master and to the household. And the law that God set up was that this man or this woman should be a servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. So a woman could also decide to stay. And that's why Peter and Paul and Moses and Jude and John described themselves as bondservants. They were free to go, but when they discovered how much Jesus loved them and that he had laid down his life for them, they said, I love you, Jesus, and I will never leave you. I want to be your bondservant. I want to be your obedient servant. I want to do whatever you say. And they gave themselves willingly, voluntarily to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord wants us to do the same thing, to realize how much he loves us and then love him back through choosing to be his bondservant forever. And along with this went the fact that the master could never sell the bondservant, his bondservant. He could never be free of him again. I heard somebody say that talks about salvation forever, right? That it's a done deal. And that's what it is. It's a done deal. Now, a bondservant could run away, I imagine. But you know what? When you fall in love with Jesus, when you see how much he loves you, why would you leave, huh? I don't think any of us would leave. I've chosen to be a bondservant. I can see that you all have chosen to be bondservants. Now, sometimes we might stray away a little bit. We might have our own reasoning and own thoughts, and then we realize quickly, whoops, and we run back to the master, don't we? And we say, I'm sorry, master. I've forgotten that I'm a bondservant. And I took matters into my own hands. And you know, he always brings us back, doesn't he? Always brings us back. Look at Luke 17, 7 through 10. Luke 17, 7 through 10. I read this scripture, and I remember back when I was teaching, that I had to remember that I was a servant to the owners of the school. I was in a private Christian school. And I rebelled one time. And I went to the Lord and said, why are they telling me how to teach? I've been a teacher now for 12 years and I know how to teach. And why are they telling me that I need to do it this way instead of the way that I was doing it? And the Lord took me to a scripture in, I think it's in 1 Corinthians. It says, why are you all puffed up? What do you have that I haven't given you? And I said, that is so true. You know, whatever talents we have, the Lord has given us, and we need to stay humble as servants, don't we? And he says here, Jesus is speaking, and he says, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, which will say to the servant, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup? Have you ever felt like you've come to the end of your rope, you've worked all day, and then you come home and you're expected to do some more work? Well, that's what Jesus is saying. We are to be servants all day long, not just part of the day, but all day long. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Amen? When you think about what Jesus has done for us, how he died on the cross for us and paid the price for our sins, who are we to demand anything? Amen? We need to be obedient servants, don't we? Whenever the Spirit moves us to do this or to do that, let's in love be obedient. Jesus doesn't want us to do things out of duty. He wants us to do things because we love him.
Amen.
When you look for someone to marry, for instance, are you going to look for a selfish person? A person that's always concerned about himself and what he wants? Or are you going to look for a person that's a servant? It makes me think of my dad. I was divorced and single for 13 years. My husband left me for another woman. And I was having dinner with my parents one day, and we were at a friend's house. And he had invited another couple to come. And the man's wife was in a wheelchair. And we all sat around a large dinner table and were eating together. And the husband could tell that his wife was uncomfortable and needed to go to the restroom. And so he got up and he very gently and carefully took his wife away from the table to the restroom. And after that night, after watching that couple together, after that night, my dad said to me, Nikki, I want a husband for you like that man that'll care for you and take care of you, even if you're in a wheelchair. And my dad wasn't able to pick my husband except after the fact. But my heavenly Father God picked me a husband that's a servant. And you know, if we're servants to one another, if we're not concerned about ourselves all the time, if, let me take Buck and me, if I'm concerned about him all the time and looking out for him, and he's concerned about me all the time and looking out for me, we both win, don't we? And you take the body of Christ, you take the body of Christ, if we're safe in the Lord's hands and in his love, we're loved perfectly. And if we're bond servants, if we have surrendered ourselves to Jesus and said, Lord, take me, I'm yours, then he fills us with his spirit. He fills us with love. He fills us with the ability to love one another. And if we'll give up self, put off the old, and put on the Lord Jesus every day, and we'll serve each other, wow. Avis, if you're always looking out for me and I'm always looking out for you, we're going to win, aren't we? And Tom, I'm looking out for you in my prayers. And I know you're looking out for me in your prayers. And so God has put us together as bond servants to him and to one another. Wow. People are going to see the love of Jesus if we will obey his command to serve one another, to love one another. He said the greatest among you will be a servant, right? Amen. And he meant a bond servant, one that's committed forever to the body of Christ, to him and to the body. We can't give up on each other. We can't reject each other. We belong to each other for life. Some of us go church hopping, looking and searching, but we need to settle down, ask the Lord, where would he have us settle in and become a part of that body? I talked to a woman this afternoon at a nursing home, and she said, I've been a part of a church for 17 years, and now she's in a nursing home. And I learned that she and her husband pastored the church, but she was there committed to take care of that church. And not leave it, not reject the members. Take care of them, forgive them, understand them, love them. And that's Pastor Buck's and my position in this church. We're committed. We're surrendered to the Lord, and we're surrendered to his will for our lives, which is to be here. And we want to obey him and serve him by serving all of you. We are not lords over you. We are your servants. And that's why 38 years ago I put a little ring on my finger. It's a little heart with the name of Jesus on it. I sold myself. I gave myself to him. He bought me. And I will never run away from him. I will never leave my precious Lord and Savior. So, the opposite of a servant is a selfish one. I don't want to be a selfish one, do you? I want to be a servant. I want to love the Lord. As Lena said, I want to please my God. I want to love him. And we can do that by loving him and loving one another, being bond servants. So if you want a reminder to yourself that you're a bond servant to the Lord, go get your ear pierced and put a gold ring in it to remind you that you belong to the Lord Jesus, and he can never let you go, and you have told him that you will never leave him. Amen? Amen. Pastor Buck, we're a church that's growing. Amen. I can tell.
You know, feels good to be a servant.
Yes.
When you try to be a lord over people, you can sense the resistance. But when you show that you're a servant, that draws people, because the love that a servant has to do for others is what builds the church.
Amen.
It builds the family. It builds relationships.
And I'd like to add, those of you that go to work every day, if you will be a servant to your boss or to the government, if you're in a government office, I know that most of the other employees are complaining, oh, I ought to get more for this job. Oh, they want me to work extra hours. Oh, and going on and on and on about this and that. But if you go in with a smile and you go in to make that boss the best boss he can be, make others around him see that he's a great boss, make him look good, wow, he's going to take notice of you. He's going to even say to you, where do you go to church? What do you believe? You've got a different attitude than everybody else that's under me. Or the employees will start to see that you've got a good attitude. You might even lift them up to a better attitude, one of love and servanthood. As you said, Pastor, that's the path of blessing.
Well, Pastor, if we will put down our own agendas, you know, the Bible says, consider the ant. I consider them when they bite me real well. But if we'll watch an ant, they're not out for themselves.
No.
And that's why you can't get rid of them.
That's
why the devil cannot get rid of God's people.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost bonds us together. But you watch the ants. They'll cling to each other and make a bridge for the others to trample across.
That's right.
An ant is a good thing to watch because they'll show you what a servant is all about.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you. You know, it's time to put our agendas down, like I said. And it's time that we started surrendering our life to God, to our family, to our church, to our schools, to our government.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I've been calling this 2017 the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
I just feel like something good already happened.
Amen, amen.
So let's remember to work for the good of all and the unity of all. Amen.
Amen.
God loves His church. I'm going to wave this. Sister Diane, I'm not waving this to the devil.
No.
But I'm waving it to Jesus.
Yes, I surrender, Jesus.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Boy, I feel like Vestal Goodman right now. Someone need prayer tonight?
Yes.
Someone need a strengthening? Whatever you need tonight, I'm going to pray for that right now. Take somebody, put a hand back there. I just thank the Lord for all of you here on a Wednesday night. It just blesses my soul. Amen. I want to thank God that we have jumped from 9 on Sunday to 60. And tonight from 11 or 12 to how many?
It was lower than that. It was like 6 or 7 on Wednesday.
6 or 7 on Wednesday night.
We got what, about 20, 25 in here tonight?
About 25 in here tonight. I'm encouraged. It shows what servants can do. They can build. Amen.
Amen.
Father, sometimes I just don't know what to say. But I do want to say thank you. I do want to say we love you. And I do want to say that the majority of us want to be a servant. A bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Our life is not our own. The life we live is the life of Jesus Christ, not of Buck Stanley or anyone else. Fill us, Lord. Make us a church that this neighborhood and this city of Jacksonville take notice that God is in this place. Have your way, Lord. I pray for someone watching tonight that has left the church for whatever reason, that they would consider finding them a church that they can feel comfortable in and worship you. Because it's when we assemble ourselves together and the power of God moves among us, is when lives are changed. If someone is not saved, that they will receive Christ right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. How we love you. Oh, how we love you. How we love you, Lord. How we love you. How we love you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Can't you just feel His presence? He loves us. He loves us. I want you to remember Sunday, your pastor will be baptized in our baptism on Sunday. And if you would like to be baptized, you need to see me. We have Brother Vic that's going to be handling the service Sunday. And he's going to be the one baptizing me. And God told me to pick him to do it, and that's what I did. I was afraid of the rest of you because you might hold me down longer than you should. But I'm excited about what God is doing. That one that just walked in, that little guy called Camden Myers, I'm excited about the changes I'm seeing in him. Oh. And changes in you and me. Good things are happening. Amen. Amen.
I know Lucas was watching the service. She said, say hello to everyone.
Sister Wynell Lucas is watching us tonight. And her health has been not good at all. But she has an opportunity now to hear the preaching. Ain't that great? Thank you, Lord. Sister Wynell, get yourself to church when you can. Amen. All right. I'm not going to dismiss anyone. I just want to say I'm so thankful that y'all came tonight. And hug each other, make up, go out fighting the devil and not each other.
I got
you. Brother Chris, our administrator.
I got something real quick. Remember, Friday night is movie night, 7 p.m. We'll have a movie and pizza. Come if you can. And remember those that are sick that couldn't be here tonight. Sister Donise called me earlier. She's having problems with her heart. Please keep her in prayer. And everybody else, just keep them all in prayer this week. Thank you.
Amen. Good night, everybody.